Compared with Britain and the United States, where there's a strong narrative about slavery, we don't hear much in Australia. But based on the research we've done and the best evidence available, there are something like 27 million slaves in the world today, many of them debt-bonded labourers from South Asia, but other forms of slavery as well that have been identified by the United Nations.
How does that touch the lives of ordinary Australians, though?
Well, Australians might encounter slavery, we think, in one of three ways. We might meet it here in Australia, and there have been a couple of very high-profile court cases about sex slavery or other forms of enslavement here in Australia. We might encounter it when we travel, and quite often when I'm speaking, someone in the audience flinches and comes up to me afterwards and says, I was in Mumbai or Rajasthan or whatever, and this child tugging at my sleeve, and I didn't realise what was happening. So we need to be better educated as tourists. And thirdly, we encounter slavery when we make business decisions or when we go to the supermarket.
How is that the case?
Well, tea, coffee, chocolate are the standard examples used for fair trade. Fair trade, the system there isn't perfect, but it's the closest we've come to date to a way of assuring some sort of justice back through the supply chain. What does justice mean? It means that children aren't being trafficked to work on plantations. They're able to go to school, they're getting proper medical care, families are supported, and so on.
How is Australia as a nation performing in terms of its ability to acknowledge and address global slavery? Are we very active? Are we very dynamic in that field?
Well, if you're thinking internally, within Australia, we're really lucky. The last two Attorneys General have been part of a consultation process on forms of slavery. You see, Australia signed something called a 1956 Supplementary Convention on Slavery, and that means we are obliged in law to pass laws consistent with that treaty. So there's consultation going on at the moment around forced marriage, around debt bondage, believe it or not, concerns about debt bondage happening in Australia, and other forms of slavery and trafficking as they happen here.
So we're taking a bit of a lead domestically. What are we doing to perhaps encourage other countries to more robustly address the issue of slavery?
Well, I'm raising this issue. It's a wonderful question, and thank you for the opportunity, because there's been no effective monitoring mechanism for the slavery treaty, this so-called supplementary convention. Each 4 years now, Australia will be participating in what's called a periodic review at the Human Rights Council in the United Nations. We did one in 2011, and we're arguing for slavery to be included as one of those areas to be reviewed in the next Universal Periodic Review to happen in 2015. So that will put the subject of slavery, we hope, and Australia's very good record on dealing with it, into the international arena.
How effective are those international moves, though? We hear a lot of debate about whether those international instruments are truly effective in achieving genuine change on the ground, helping the innocent and vulnerable in difficult circumstances?
That's a fantastic question. This is May 2012. In June 2011, just about a year ago, a treaty was passed or concluded by the International Labour Organization to turn domestic service into a regulated area of work. Now, that's the first little glimmer of recognition that what women do in terms of service is actually work. What was happening in practice is that girls, often prepubescent, so that you can imagine how vulnerable they became once they were placed in a household, girls would be placed in a household as a domestic servant, perhaps sleeping under the stairs, perhaps the trade was you do the work, we'll give you food. But the convention is now saying, well, no, you need to be paid in money, not kind. You need to have your own place to sleep. You need to have one day off in every seven, and so on. So it's the first tiny little baby step But it is taking young women from a situation where they were vulnerable and exposed and potentially subject to grave mistreatment, taking those young women and giving them protection that can be developed over the next couple of decades, but a very significant first step.
It's one thing to put laws in place, but do we devote enough to policing the sex trade or the abuse of child soldiers or any other form of slavery that is existing in the world today? Essentially, I'm asking, are we devoting enough resources to ensure that what we say we can actually do?
Well, there's always a need for more resources and a greater call. But I'm going to step one little step beyond that question if I say, when I'm speaking, I use a hand plan. I'm not sure how to describe this on radio. You might help. But I've made a sort of thumb up, index finger pointing out, and I invite an audience to think, if we point our fingers at those naughty Cambodians for corruption, or those Indians who haven't done enough on debt bondage, or the Chinese who might have child trading, how many fingers are pointing back at ourselves? And if you look at your own hand, if you've done the hand play, three fingers are pointing back at us. One of the narratives in any of my addresses is, how do we reflect back on our own involvement and the steps we can take to make a difference as individuals?
And how are we going as individuals?
Well, if we go to Britain or the States, the fair trade agenda is in your face. I don't know if any of your listeners have been to the UK recently, but Tesco's or Sainsbury's, you walk in and fair trade is right there. The narrative of the slave ports, Bristol, Liverpool and so on, is in your face anywhere you go. That's not the case here in Australia, and that's the difference we intend to make. Not just to build awareness, but to build an understanding of how we translate that awareness into simple steps such as fair trade.